This morning, once again, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy if you received one, or perhaps the one-page bulletin. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back side portion there. You'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you this morning. There you'll also find some take-home sermon reflections that I hope and pray will be a blessing to you as you and I continue to pray about this Word that God will share with us this morning. So in my own life, I've started to notice this, for better or for worse, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse, that I have this habit of crossing things out. Have you had that experience in life where you have begun or had crossed things out or are maybe crossing things out? For example, in my own life, I see this. Sometimes I have these checklists and I love to cross things out. Where are my list people today, my checklist people? I think back to school and homework assignments, whether that was in junior high or senior high or in college. I had this long syllabus and this big daunting schedule hanging over my head. And boy, what a breath of fresh air to take that pen, whatever color it was, and just cross it off, right? Done, right? Reading assignment for tomorrow, done. Big paper, done. Adios, see ya, goodbye. Big exam coming up, done. I can think back to my time on our family farm in rural Nebraska, and I can think back to the list of activities, and that might be a kind word, activities that we were being asked to do on the family farm with the pigs and the cows and so forth. And what a blessing it was to go out there and to launch into those activities and then to take a step away from them and in my mind do this, cross it out, done. Fed the pigs before going off to do anything else, done. Took care of things out in the field, done. Made the repairs that had to be done, done. Crossed off. I wonder if you're that same way, where you have a list throughout the week and it brings you joy. It's almost like, oh, you get a little giddy, right? You're kind of looking at that list and then you complete something, done. Crossed off. Oh, that felt good. All right, the next thing. Yep, done. Oh, that felt really good, right? Sometimes you can just feel better and you breathe better when you can cross things off your list, right? There's the other side of this, though, in terms of crossing things out. And for me, it's come in forms like this, where there's been risk, right? I don't want the risk. I don't want the concern. I don't know what the what coulds, the what shoulds, and the what ifs. So here's what I do. I take that pen, and I cross it off, and I back away from it. Back to those same situations, especially in the family farm, when it came to chores I didn't want to do, crossed them off for the time being and said, hey, sister, there's something that Dad would like us to do, us being you, so have at it. Pressure washed in the pig barn, oh my goodness. Feeding animals before going out to do anything social for the night, right? I'm just going to cross that off because I don't want to do it. I'm going to cross it off. And now I'm going to invite you to do it in my place. You're welcome. God bless you, right? Or having a tough conversation with a friend in the past, you know, and talking with our social network. Okay, we really need to talk to so-and-so about this. I don't want to do it, so I'm personally going to cross it off my to-do list, and I really think you're the better person to kind of go in there. So just go ahead and do it, right? In my former career as a wildlife biologist and doing research with white-tailed deer and coming out to these big state parks, or these areas of God's good creation in rural Nebraska, and coming up to one of these big live traps, and inside it is a very live, very active, very motivated white-tailed deer that wants out, right? And then as the wildlife biologist, we're supposed to go in the trap. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's the way it happened. Go inside, give them a GPS collar, turn them loose, track them, rinse, wash, repeat. Seemed ridiculous. And in those moments, you know you're up to bat and you got your list. Okay, I got to go in there. I got to do this, this, and this. You look like a better person for it. So I'm just going to cross that off my to-do list. And now it's on your list. So have at it, right? There's other places in life where I know myself and Kara knows me well and my close friends know me. And there are times where I love to do as the right image shows this morning, and just take that mental pen and just cross that off my list, and I step away from it. Because it might cost me something. It might be uncomfortable, it might challenge me, it might test me, it might pull me, it might stretch me, but at the end of the day, here's what I want to do. I want to take out my big pen, and I want to cross it off. And I don't want to do it. I wonder if you've been in that camp in life, that place, where you know there's something you're supposed to do, but you don't want to do it. And if you're like me, here's what you do. You just cross it off, and you back away. If I take that question a little bit further, I see it take shape like this. Have I crossed out the cross? Have I crossed out the cross of Jesus Christ? In other words, have I begun to cross out those areas of my life as a Christ follower where I don't want to carry my cross? God has asked me to go in, and it may not be into a live trap with a white-tailed deer where I don't have the helmet or the face mask, and I'm stuck in a situation I don't want to be in, but maybe, just maybe, God has given me the nudge or the boost or the divine push to go in, and my response is, God, I want to cross out the cross here. That's just not for me because I'm not comfortable with it. I wonder if you can relate to that. Peter can. In our gospel lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28, we see this in a big way, don't we? Jesus is storyboarding and sketching out what kind of Messiah he truly is for you and for me. And that is not the kind of Jesus Simon Peter wants. So do you know what he starts to do? Figuratively speaking, he takes out his pen and he starts to cross out the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That sounds pretty messy, doesn't it? I mean, that's not the kind of thing that we would want to sign up for willingly, right? Most often. And for Simon Peter, and maybe for the other disciples, we don't know this, but Simon Peter in this moment, he's the one that is vocal, right? So this is what happens. And I would caution against this, just as a brother in Christ, you know, taking Jesus aside and telling Jesus how it's going to be. But this is exactly what Simon Peter does. He takes Jesus aside, and he's like, Jesus, you know, I hear you, but let's just go ahead and cross that out, okay? Verse 22, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. And once again, I'd encourage you to avoid that, kind of avoid rebuking Jesus. And he said, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Jesus, once again, has sketched out for the disciples that life is about to get really hostile, really messy, really dark, dirty, bloody, and ugly. And that is not part of Peter's plan for Jesus. So Peter takes Jesus aside and he starts to cross out the cross for Jesus. Peter wants to cross out the cross, the cross. Best of intentions, right? I mean, you can hear Peter's heart for Jesus, can't you? I mean, if you had a good friend, a family member, a classmate, a colleague, and they said, I'm going to go off, and I'm probably not coming back, at least for a little while, not coming back, I'm going to suffer, we'll see in a little bit, I'll send you a postcard. You'd probably pull that person aside and say, you know, time out, right? Maybe we need to reevaluate this. Maybe we need to cross out that part that's uncomfortable for you, where you suffer, where you go through something really icky. Let's just cross that out and let's reassess, right? I mean, you, out of love, you would probably do that for a friend, a colleague, classmate, or maybe a stranger, wouldn't you? Because you want them to avoid the harm, the abuse, the mess of life. Wouldn't you do that? Peter has the best of intentions, but here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to bypass what Jesus wants for Peter, but also for you and for me. And this is Jesus' response. It's kind of like the response heard around the world. You probably hear a pin drop, a mouse sneeze, a drop of water land on a ball of cotton, right? It's kind of that kind of climate. This is what Jesus says in response. Verse 23, Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." See, what we don't realize here maybe is just this, that Peter is not acting on behalf of God's holy and perfect will. No. Peter in this moment is actually acting on behalf of Satan. And maybe you know this, and if you don't, let me share it with you today. Jesus and Satan, they're not on the same page. And the cross that God has in mind for his son, that doesn't fit Peter's definition of a Messiah. And so here's what Satan does. And he's really good at this. He's been doing it for years, does it in your life and my life. He challenges the cross. And he invites us to just process it, if only for a second. That's all he needs in your life and my life. Just a moment of airtime to doubt the word. In that moment, that second starts to get stretched out, and we start to storyboard in our minds and in our hearts. We start to play it out, and things start to look messy and ugly, and, well, that's uncomfortable. We don't want to do that. So here's what we do. We join Peter, and we cross it out. But in the process, we bypass what God is wanting for your life and in my life, especially through his son, your Savior, and mine, Jesus Christ. Peter wants to cross out the cross of Christ. As I was thinking about this week, I was starting to pray about and wrestle with this question, and maybe you're there too this morning. The question is this. Because of things going on in life, maybe uncomfortable, maybe confusing, maybe dark, maybe a little vague, have we come to a place like this where we're wanting to play it safe? Where we don't have the conversations that we need to have, where we don't go as we need to go, where we don't pick up our cross and follow Christ as he has called us to, because this is what he's asked of us, isn't it? He says, anybody who would come after me, who would follow me with your life, you have to deny yourself, which is hard. Take up your cross, that's also messy, and follow me every day. That's tricky because I get distracted a lot. And I'm following Jesus 1 minute and then, ooh, shiny object. Let's go check that out. And then over here, that looks a lot more comfortable. That doesn't cost me as much, and I can play it safe. So when God comes up to me in the strength of his relationship with me and calls me to do something, here's what I do. I take out that big pen, the same pen that Peter used in this moment, and I cross it out. And then I say something like this. God, maybe we can revisit that a little bit later. Okay? Sound good? Good. Thanks. All right. See you later. Or it's this. God, there's probably somebody better qualified, a stronger Christian, who's more mature in this, who has all the right words. I mean, because after all, I get tongue-tied, and I just, you know how it is. If I don't have my coffee, it just ain't happening. So let's find somebody else. We'll put them in, and it'll work out so much better. Okay, sound good? Great. Let's just cross that out. But God, in the strength of his relationship with me, comes up to me and says, No, I'm asking you to do the hard work. I'm asking you to carry your cross today. I'm not asking him to carry your cross. I'm not asking her to carry your cross. I'm asking you to carry your cross. I'm asking you to have the hard conversation, the one that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God, fully and unadulterated, the Word of God. I'm asking you to have the conversation that needs to happen. And I know you don't want to do it. I know it's gray, it's confusing, and you don't know how it's going to work out. But trust me, I'm with you always. So before you take the pen out, before you cross it out, remember who I am. sometimes I think we can have the best of intentions. And we can watch those intentions go down the track like a train, and then all of a sudden it just goes sideways so fast, doesn't it? You ever had that experience? You wanted to do the right thing, you had the right words, you had the right timing, you had the right people, you had the right X, Y, and Z, but then when it started in motion, all of a sudden it just went sideways fast. Peter's in this moment, this key moment, and our Savior Jesus has just shared with him that things are about to get dark and ugly. But did you notice what Peter missed? That not only do you get a cross, you get a resurrection. And when there's a resurrection, there's a living, breathing Jesus Christ. And if you have a living, breathing Jesus Christ, and you have a living hope that no one can take out of your life, and yet somehow Peter misses that. He's got the best of intentions here. He doesn't want suffering for Jesus. He doesn't want that to happen. So he wants to cross off that part, but in the process, he's bypassing God's plan for the world. Do you resonate with that? You ever had the best of intentions with something, and all of a sudden, like, you're watching it play out before your eyes, and it's almost like you're a spectator to your own life, and you just kind of see it kind of like go like this? You've been there? God knows you've been there. God knows you're there. And so this is what God does for you and for me. This is what he did for Peter. Luke 22, 31 to 32. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you out as wheat." In other words, he has asked me for permission to just take you and play with you like a bird in a cage and then dunk you in the water and then walk away. Satan has asked for permission to do that to you. But here's what I've done for you. I've prayed for you. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus Christ prayed for you. Those moments when you and I would be tempted to take out our pen and cross off the hard gospel work. Jesus prayed for you. But Jesus did more than that for you. Jesus refused to cross out the cross for you because he knew that you and I had a debt to pay that we could never pay ourselves. So this is what Jesus did. He paid it for you. Jesus gives his life as a ransom for you. Jesus is wounded for you. And Jesus rises for you. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know what season of life you're in. I don't know how many of those moments you've been faced with where it's like, do I take out my pen here or do I put it away? Do I step in and do the hard work or do I back off? Do I carry my cross or I try to make somebody else do it for me? Here's a cross, you do it. I don't know what that's been like for you, but here's what I do know. Jesus Christ didn't back away from a cross that was meant for you and for me. Jesus Christ didn't turn aside from a painful situation. Jesus Christ didn't stay dead, but came back for you in the strength of a relational promise for you. And Jesus Christ promises to be with you and me in those moments where we're so tempted to pull out the pen to cross it off. And he says, wait. This week, may God do this in our lives. May God grant us the grace to pause our personal process of crossing off what's most important so we can do the work we need to do. Let's pray.